Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm excited too.
No, I don't think I did that right. I might need to go again. Let's try it again. Why don't you lead it?
I'm excited too.
And I'm excited to be here. What does the Bible say? Hold on. It's coming. This is the day. I will rejoice. You know, I was thinking one of the psalms that I absolutely love is when David said, I was glad when they said, let us go up. Uh-oh, who said that? Somebody, amen, there you go, into the house of the Lord. It's almost like, you know, King David as he's, there we go. I'm getting excited. Sorry, guys. All right.
Test.
Okay. All right. So as we know, Pastor Ronnie, he's in Texas. The Southern Baptist Convention, and we want to go ahead and lift him up in prayer. And obviously, they're down there. They're talking about some very important decisions, where they're going to allocate funds. And not only that, but we want this to be a refreshing time for Pastor Ronnie, so when he comes back, he can continue to bring the word for us. We want to go ahead and remember him. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's go ahead and pray, and also that God would just come here and be with us this morning. Amen? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you this morning, God, for who you are. And God, we don't understand who man is, that you are mindful of us. And Father, the foolishness of preaching, God, that you would speak to us and you would raise people up to speak to us, Lord. And God, we just thank you this morning for your word, which, guys, there's so many good ideas and good things out there, God, but there's nothing like your word, because your word is true. Your word never changes, God. And so, Lord, we just look to you as the author and finisher of our faith. God, we look to you to fill this place with your presence, your spirit, not for emotional reasons, God. We've got a ton of emotions, Lord. What we're looking for is to experience you. And God, I pray today that, I have done what I could, Father, to prepare, but we know that the finite man, I'm going to reach a limit, Father, and I have. And Lord, I really want you to be here. I want you to be glorified this morning. And Father, we pray that you will be, and we pray that we will experience you this morning. God, I also pray for Pastor Ronnie. We're so thankful for his labor of love. This is not easy, Father. I'm not just, visiting with people and being a pastor, but even just the preaching, God. You know, I know they say the two greatest fears, Lord, are losing money and public speaking. And Lord, but through your glory, through your strength, we're able to do all things, and we are more than conquerors, Father, even over the greatest fears in this world. And so, God, I pray this morning again that you would be with Pastor and Miss Sherry, and again, bless them and give them just a fruitful time where they're at. Help them to make meaningful connections, relationships. Help them, help all the pastors there at the convention to just really to make, with the decisions they're going to be making. I pray that they will to honor you. I pray that they will allocate the funds correctly, Lord, for all the different ministries that will impact lives. And God, again, we're so thankful this morning to be here in your house. I was glad when they said, let us go up to the house of the Lord. And I'm so thankful to be here today, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, guys. So today we're going to talk about a very important topic. And I got my tablet here. Some of us like to print out the notes, but I like it on the digital, so I know that kind of makes me a millennial. But it's kind of cool because I can scroll, I can zoom, so it works for me. But so this topic today that we're going to talk about, guys, is really important. You know, there are a lot of things that we talk about when we come together. When we come to church, we talk about, making our lives better and marriage is better and better kids and, even us, like, how can I better connect with God? But, all this talking that we're doing, we've got to hit the main point. We've got to talk about God. Amen. And so this morning, one of the notes I put on there, this topic is what we're going to do today, what we're going to talk about. It's actually, to me, I think one of the most dangerous topics that you can discuss. Because as long as I'm talking about God, he's kind of like or about things of God, it still makes God, kind of distant. But when I remove all the veils and I talk about God, well, that makes me come face to face with him. Does that make sense? So, it's so easy to get caught up in talking about things for us, things for, in our lives, in different areas of our lives, but to focus this morning on God, right? That is difficult. So, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, if we want to turn there. I don't have a slide for it, but I do have my watch so I can keep time, huh? Cool, right? And it's a simple watch. All it does is have two hands. So, Matthew 6, 33. Nah, if we want to stand, sure, we'll stand. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and read that. You want to read it as a congregation? Amen. Amen. So with all that we're doing, all that we're trying to do, all that we're trying to accomplish for God and the marriages that we want to get better, the kids we want to get better, and the finances we want to get better, with all that we're seeking, there's a recipe for success. And that recipe is what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. All right. So not only that's our first goal. Again, I've already said that. But before we can seek God, first and above all things, we have to first know him. Like, I know a lot of things about God, but I don't know God, okay? There's a story, Francis Chan, many of you guys know him, pastor out there in California. He tells a story of a man that asked him to teach him how to surf. And so, of course, Francis Chan, great Christian guy, says, sure, I'll teach you. Oh, I'm sorry, sit down. I'm like, why is everybody standing? Woo, all right, let's just take two. Ladies, come back up here. I don't know you guys look normal to me because I'm up here. Woo! Okay. I don't know. All right, God, amen. We'll keep going, right? Man, I just feel bad now. Amen. Thank you. Woo! Okay, so, all right, guys. I'm sorry about that. Threw me off track, too. Francis Chan, surfer, amen. See, that everybody's paying attention. This is good. All right. So basically, the man asked him to teach him how to teach him to ask Francis Chan to teach him how to surf. So then they go out to the ocean, and they go out there. They get boards. They're out there, and he's teaching them the basics in the shallow. And he's teaching them how to do all that surfer stuff. I don't really know how to do, but he's teaching them. And then he says, okay. He feels that he's pretty comfortable. And then Francis Chan's like, okay, let's go. So he starts paddling out into, deeper waters and all that. And he gets out there, and he's getting ready to get set up. And he looks back, and the guy's not there. And he's like, what? He's way back there. And so he paddles back in. He's like, what are you doing? And the guy says, I don't know how to swim. I mean, come on, right? So how is he going to learn how to surf, and he doesn't even know how to swim? But we want to all grow in God, and we want all these marriages, and we want the fight, and we want everything in our lives, but we don't even know God. Does that make sense? So, all right. So as we begin our journey of discovering God, I think Deuteronomy 29, 29 will help. So if you could turn there in your Bibles, Deuteronomy 29, 29. This is a great verse. You guys, everybody should memorize this verse. This verse will help you in so many ways, so many conversations. It will be amazing for you, okay? Deuteronomy 29, 29. If you're there, say amen. 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 The secret things. Oh, wait, I still hear pages turn. I want everybody to get it. The secret things belong unto the Lord, our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So there are some things that they're just not revealed. There's never. Sorry. Yeah, you guys are good. Okay. If I move away from the mic, they kill this mic, then you guys get it. Okay. That's cool. We're working on it. So there are things that about God that, they're not revealed. Like, how is it that God has never had a beginning? You see, there are some things, the secret things, they belong unto who? Unto the Lord. But the things that are revealed belong to who? To us. And so now, it's these things that belong unto us, the things that God has revealed, that we should push ourselves to learn more about him. Instead of getting frustrated about some of the things we don't know, allow that to drive us to search him out. You know, be fascinated by him. Amen? All right. So let me go down here. I have a question for everybody. Now, the way I wanted to do this, I don't have time to do, and I'm really sad about that. But my plan was to go around to everybody in the sanctuary, every single person, and ask everybody a question. And this question is at first, when you first hear it, it's kind of like, you know, well, of course, you know, yeah. But if you really think about it, look at your life, look at everything you've been through, pain, sorrow, childhood, I mean, you know, and the great things of God, just factor it all in and then answer this question, okay? Don't worry about the slides, I got it. Hold on, I turned it off, save battery. There you go. All right, is everybody ready for the question? I want you to really think about this. And then I don't know how I'll do it. Maybe I'll go row by row. We'll figure it out, okay? But here's a question. I really want you to think about it. And then families together, I want you guys to talk about it, okay? And then we'll go around the room. Maybe I'll stay here, and that way we can save some time. And I want you to answer it, okay? So I'm going to ask the question. I want you to talk. Families, talk to each other to answer this question, okay? It's going to be a simple one. But I really want you to think about it. Through everything you've been through, can you say that God has been good to you? You can talk about it. Right? Ain't no, ask the kids, has God been good to us? Through everything, throughout it all. You know, throughout everything we've been through, God has been good. Amen? Everybody here, we've all collectively said that God's been good to us. And if it's okay with you, I want to talk about that same God that has been so good to us. I want to spend a couple minutes talking about him. Is that all right with everybody? Amen. So there are a lot of many things that we could talk about God, you know, and many attributes that God has that I wrote them all. I'm ready. I'm prepared to go through them all. But time is just not going to allow us to go through them all. So I of all the attributes of God, I had to focus on one this morning. So this morning, we're going to talk about the holiness of God. So, did you know that the holiness of God is so important that from it flows all the other attributes of God? Everything, God, the eternality, the fact that he's present everywhere, he's all-powerful, it all starts with the fact that he is holy. Now, let's see here. So, holiness, what does the word actually mean? Well, holiness is, I'm sorry if you can't see, oh, there you go, you guys can see it good. My screen's smaller, okay. Holiness is the state of being holy, okay? So now, what does the word holy mean? Don't say it, because if you're wrong, I'd be like, oh, man, I'm sorry. Okay, don't say it. So, all right, what does the word holy actually mean, okay? So in the biblical Hebrew, the words for holy are gadesh, meaning apartness or sacredness, and gadash, meaning translated sacred or holy. The Greek word hagios means righteous, holy, or pious. So God holiness means that he is totally and utterly set apart from all creation and evil. Okay? God's holiness also means that he is not only separate from all creation, but of course, like I said, he's completely separate from anything unclean and evil. God's holiness means that he is positively pure and completely distinct from all others. So when we talk about God, to really understand the God that has been good to us all, we need to first understand there is nothing like God. You cannot compare. I cannot take this mic. I can compare these two. Does that make sense? I can't compare anything against God. He is completely other than. There is nothing in this entire universe that I could say, well, God is like, you know, he's like, it's not possible. He is completely separate from everything in creation. Let's look at some verses to help us out. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our God. They turn back on the Holy One of Israel. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy, completely separate than anything in this world. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. All right? Who is like unto thee? Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? All the gods throughout history, you know, you look at the Greek gods, they all had human issues, you know, human faults, human weaknesses. There is no God. You compare our God to any God. There is no God amongst all, even the so-called little gods. There's no God like you. Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. And let men say among the nation, the Lord reigneth. Let the seas roar in the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out of the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Amen. And what are the four B's going to say throughout all eternity? What are they saying right now as we're speaking? Right now, God is so holy. There are four B's of his own creation, six wings. They're covering God. And all day, all night, without fail, what do they say? Repeat it with me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. That is the God that we serve. So, I'm so excited about this message again, guys. This is our God is so, when you think, you know what, I'm not going to get ahead of my sermon. Don't worry about it. It's coming, Roy. It's a gear down. All right. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Oh, I already said that one. Okay. That's my little placeholder. So let me back it up. Like I was saying about comparing something to God, right? I had a question to myself as I was preparing this message. I said, If to be holy means to be set apart, right? If I have, let's just say I have some money, right? I have a pile of money, or jewels, or whatever. It doesn't matter what it is, marbles. And I set these apart from the rest. Are these holy? It's set apart, right? The definition of holy means to be set apart, right? Now, there's other components of it, too, that would make that not right. But as I'm thinking about it, I'm like, it's set apart, right? So if I set something aside or apart, this means that this is holy. And the answer to the question is no, right? It's not holy, right? Because you want to know why? I tell you why, but hold on. Let's look at some, you know, as I was doing some research, I was like, what's a way that I can bring this out, how exactly separate our God is from anything else in the world? So you know what I did? I went out and I found the top four paintings in all of the world. All of the world. I Googled, you know, and I found the top four paintings in the world. And I'm thinking, surely these works of art are set apart from everything else. They throughout time, they've been regarded as the greatest works, right? Certainly these ought to be in a category of their own. Right? So let's look at them. You guys know these ones. Say it out. Mona Lisa. There we go. Last Supper. God and Adam. And that's Michelangelo. And of course, everybody knows this one. Van Gogh. Starry Night. So these work of arts, I mean, during their time, they were revolutionary. They were truly, there was no other painting like, I mean, it was just so amazing. Certainly these works of art, they're set apart, but what makes them not holy? I know it's stupid. I know I'm being stupid right now. But just work with me. Work with me. You know what makes them not holy? You know what makes the marbles, the money that I set aside not holy? There are things just like it. It's comparable. There are other paintings. This painting right here, the artist, this is not, you know, one time you can get the same painting hand painted again. There are many more like it, replicated from it. The artist could have drawn two. So there is something that you can compare it against. There are other canvases. There's other things that were painted. God is so separate from everything in the world. There's nothing. Do we understand? You can't compare him to anything. And that is why he is set apart. He is holy. He is without sin. You name it. God, there's nothing that we can do or say that would compare our God to anything else, okay? Amen? So, let me ask you this then. If these amazing works of art, if they can't be holy, can we be holy? Right? I mean, wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible... Now, is there any way you could advance to the next, after this side? No, because if you do, oh, you're giving it away. Okay. Nope. Never mind. We'll go through it. Everybody close your eyes. You didn't see it. Okay, there we go. Woo! All right. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness and all flesh and of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Another verse that commands us to be holy. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, here it is. My brain started to go again. And I'm thinking to myself, man, set apart. This is not holy, even though I set it apart. And then I start thinking about me as a person. How can I be holy? You know, God calls me to be holy. How can I be holy? There are other human beings. Look, I'm looking at a bunch of them right now. How am I holy? How am I set apart? And you know what sets apart me? Are all of us that are in here. You know what sets apart the Christian? You have the one that is set apart living within you. So when you're standing next to someone else that doesn't know Christ, there is a dramatic difference. There is a universe, world, cosmos of difference between you and that person. Because he does not have the God of eternity living inside. He doesn't have the God that is set apart inside of him, but we do. So even though I'm looking and he's got hands and he's got, maybe he has hair, you know, he's got everything, you know. Guess what? If he doesn't have the Holy Spirit, me and him are completely different. And that is why the Bible says light and darkness cannot walk together. We're different. Okay. So we are holy in that God resides in us and we can walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. One of the differences, one of the things that sets us apart from the world is that we're not slaves to sin. You guys ever heard of the Twinkie defense? The man said the Twinkie made him do it. You know, if you ask people, why did you do that? You know what they say sometimes? I don't know, you know? And guess what? Sometimes they're not lying. They don't know. They're a slave to their sins. You know, they fear what might happen had they not done it. They don't know what would happen if I didn't do this, what would happen to me? They don't know. And it scares them. There was a psychologist. He said there was a man that murdered his wife. And he asked, why did you do it? He said he was so afraid. He was so afraid of what might happen to him if he didn't do it, because everything inside of him was telling him to do it. And he was so afraid because he's a slave to his sin. But us here today, if you have Jesus Christ inside of you, you are no longer a slave to sin. You are a new creation and you are set apart. And sometimes we don't walk in that victory. We don't walk in that newness of life. You are not like everybody else. And so when you see the world and you see everything they got going on, you don't worry about that because you are so different, so set apart. It's crazy that God, the God of the universe that's been good to us all, has set us apart. You know, okay. Here's what we're going to do. All right. Okay. So, at this point, I really hate to do this. I really don't want to do this. You guys, you know, I hate to talk about me and talking about a sermon on holiness, you know, because you we come talking about myself or my story and the story of God. They've got nothing to do with each other, and yet they have everything to do with each other. But I really don't want to take any time away from God. But I was asked this morning, and I think it'll be good. You guys need to know the person that's talking to you. You need to know, who am I? What have I been through? How can I say these things that I'm saying to you? And so I'm going to share my testimony with you, and we're all going to get to know each other. Are you going to get to know me really well after this? All right, so my testimony, my story. You know, it really centers around my father. And, you know, I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and born and raised there until I was about, you know, I guess I can't say raised. Born and moved when I was about 12 or 13 due to a tragedy. Okay. So there's a picture of my father. And, you know, this picture, is it him at the courthouse there in Pittsburgh? He's being led away during his trial, being brought back and forth from the courtroom during the trial for the murder of my stepmother. And, you know, for all I knew growing up, all I knew was that that was my dad, right? That was him, you know, as a child. I mean, that was dad. He was always there. I loved my father. He was my hero. And then all of a sudden, he's just not there. One day in a fit of rage, they're arguing, he's cooking, and then he just turns around and he stabs her. And then the worst part was when he tried to cover up what he did to try to cover it all up. And we weren't in the house at the time. We were visiting my mom in New Jersey. And you know, when we came back, it was like my stepmom was gone, and we asked, hey, you know, where's our stepmom at? And he said, oh, well, you know, she left and all that. And I got to be honest with you, I was happy. I really was, because she was evil. I mean, we got beat. I'm talking about I got beat growing up. I mean, I've been, you name it, I've been beaten. What they say, these are called, now you can laugh at this part, it's okay. They called them old-fashioned weapons. You know, it's like whatever this is, whatever I reach back and grab and I bring forward, that's what you get hit with. And that's how I, you know, that's how I grew up. I mean, I was abused, thrown out in the cold in pajamas and things like that. I mean, you name it, not forced not to eat, things like that, just abused. And what happened was my stepmom, when she was there, you know, we would go through this abuse, and then we'd tell my dad, but my dad worked at night, so during the day, he might talk to her and get on her, but then he would leave, and then guess who we're with? So guess what a child learns to do real fast? You don't talk. And then you try to go to family members and tell them what's going on, but when I was growing up, it was under the generation, what do you say? That was that family, that was that house, that's their business. And that's kind of how I grew up. So after my dad left, I went to go live with my mom. And you would think, okay, this is a good story. I didn't grow up with my mom. She wasn't allowed to come around. So for like, they split when I was maybe two. She wasn't there. And so you think now, okay, this is great. Mom, now mom's coming back into life. It wasn't great. I was on my own. Mom did one thing. She provided roof, and that was it. I had to work to eat. Where I worked, they had day-old donuts in the bakery. That was my dinner. All these different nights, donuts and pretzels and things like that. I didn't really eat until I joined the Army. I didn't eat. When I joined the Army, whenever we go through this thing three times a day, I'm like, whoa. I mean, it was amazing to me. And the food was pretty good. Now, maybe it's because I wasn't used to eating, but I was like, man, this is great, you know? And but you see me, you know, I was a completely different. I was lost, dead in my sin. Aaron Cornwell, you name it. I was following the world. That was me. But, you know, at times I still get to go visit my dad. But, you know, before everybody feels too sorry for me, God has blessed me. God has blessed me. So, you know, it's not all bad. You know, you go through these trials and everything like that, and yet God's blessed me with salvation, number one, blessed me with Melinda, you know, and just blessed me with my beautiful three boys. And like I said, I hate to talk about me and all this, but kind of like, you know, in closing, how do you think When I became a Christian, I viewed God as holy. A lost family, I grew up abused, mother. Now my mom, she has schizophrenia, you know, so she's not even really here a lot of times mentally. Growing up as a child, every source of, you know, protection or providing for me was taken away. You know, no matter what I did or you know, it was like we were dad's gone, mom's gone, and now I'm on my own, and now I'm not even eating. Now I'm going to the bakery every day. I'm eating these day-old donuts and whatever else I can eat, and I'm going over friends' houses, and their families, you know, thankfully fed me and things like that. And so now, then later on, many years later, I become a Christian. And so how do you think now? Now you tell me God is holy. I said, how's that? And that's why I asked everybody the question, has God been good to you throughout it all? And you know what? Throughout everything. And I know there, you know, my story's not unique. You know, there are many kids out there, unfortunately, that are going through what I went through worse and things like that. And of course, you know, we have time to get into everything. But I can tell you from what I've been through, God is good. God is good. And I'm telling you, it is because when you look at God, he, you know, when I learn about the holiness of God, I'm so thankful. Because I don't want a God that I'm serving and I think everything is going great. And next thing you know, it's like, hey, you didn't make it. Or, hey, you know, oh, I'm sorry, psych. You know, he's not trustworthy. Or he's got human frailties. That's not the kind of God I want. I want a God that is so set apart because of everything I've been through in my life. I would love to have something consistent. And I find that in Christ. Amen. Only in Christ. Even myself, you know, do you find yourself not doing what you said you would do? Yeah, we talk about, oh, you know, hypocrite. I mean, I don't even worry about that term anymore because I'm like, you know, do you do everything you say you're going to do? No. So, I mean, it's don't worry about it. At any rate, you know, we all fail ourselves. The very thing we said we won't do, we do again. But, guys, the whole point this morning is to focus on God's holiness. And even though you have somebody before you that whose heart was crushed, who grew up with anxiety, and, of course, I'm sorry, I grew up in the projects as well, running from drive-bys, neighbors murdered, and things like that. But that's a different story. Join the Army. We'll tell you about that maybe some other time. And so, in all of the pain and the torture and the abuse and even the good times, everything that I've been through, let me tell you something, there's nothing like God. There's nothing like God. And you think God would scare somebody that grew up like, no, I run to God because I need that consistency. I need one that knows it all because I don't know if I'm coming or going most days, but I know the God that does, and I'm so thankful for him, and I want to follow him, and I want my children to follow him, and I'm so blessed. I don't know why Melinda's with me. You know, I'm like, man, sometimes I'm like, you know, I don't know, but praise God that she married me, and she grew up in a Christian home, and her dad's a pastor, and I'm just like, I don't know, you know, but God is so good. He gives you abundantly more than what you could ever ask, you know? And so God, my cup literally overflows it. I just got to be not stupid enough to pour it over. You know what I mean? So, and so the holiness of God, the whole point is I want to wrap this up. Because God is holy, we have a problem though. Romans 3:23, everybody knows that one, right? If you want to turn there in your Bibles, Romans 3:23, and we're about to be done. I'm so sorry, guys, about the time. I'm so sorry. Romans 3:23, not Matthew 3:23. For all have and fall short of. So let me ask you this. The same God that has been good to us all, the same God that is consistent and that he never changes, that same God we will one day face eternity, and we have agreed to the fact that he is holy. So that means that there is no sin in him. He's completely separate, right? But we want to go live with him in eternity forever, but we can't because there's no sin where he is. But the Bible says, unless the Bible's wrong, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And what does it say? The wages of sin is what? Death. Because you have sinned, you are destined to die and be separated from God for all eternity. But God is so good. What does it say the rest of 6:23? But the free gift of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we are all fallen. We are of all sin. We are all away from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if we will surrender our lives to him, if we will call upon the name of the Lord, we will be saved and we will be with him in for eternity. Amen? Amen. Amen. There you go. It's okay. Clap with me. There you go. And if you're here and you couldn't clap, maybe there's a reason. You know, maybe you don't have that surety. Guys, today is the day of salvation. You know, I'm going to close, pray here in a minute. I'm sorry about the time. But guys, let me ask everybody here a question. Do you know Jesus? I know you've seen posters. I know you've heard songs and, you know, looked at videos and you've done a lot of things about Jesus. But do you know him? Can you say that your life has been transformed? Can you say that when you get to heaven that you're going to be able to make it? And let me give you a great example real quick, and then I'm done. We're going to close. We're going to pray. And if you are here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you come forward when we're dismissed and you come talk to me. You come talk to me. You come talk to Brother Jack Smith and some of the other deacons. You guys can come forward and you come talk to us. Amen. Can you go back to my slide real quick? I want to just give you one example that talks about, I'm not going to preach it. I'm just going to read it. Is it? There we go. There you go. Perfect. Thank you. So, Acts 19, 13 through 16. We're going to do a speed read, okay? You guys with me? All right. Say amen. Amen. All right. So, speed read. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know. Who are you?" You see, we can play games with God. We can come to church. We can do all these things about God. But let me tell you, from one who's been on the other side and has been on this side, there's a dramatic difference, and your life should be dramatically different. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but the demons know you. You said, these guys are just sitting there playing. They're going around trying to heal people in the name of Jesus, you know, trying to say whom Paul preaches. He says, you know, Jesus we know, and Paul we know. Who are you? So if you're playing a game today with your eternity, you're not playing it with me, you're not playing it with anybody here, if you're worried about anybody here, you got bigger problems than the people here. And these guys, they had some big problems too. That spirit tore them up. They ran out of that house naked. You know, without rule, I mean, they got tore up. Because, guys, you can't play. This stuff you're playing, we're talking about God, we're singing about God, but if you don't know him, you're playing a game, you're going to lose. Because when you stand before God, again, God is what? He's whole. He's holy. He's not going to be like, "Well, I remember you. You know, you came to church sometimes, you sang those little songs, you know, you made those cards, I remember you." That's not our God. He's not like a grandfather that's going to be like, you spilled paint everywhere, but I still love you, you know? No, guys, this is God. He's holy. And no matter what you do, no matter what you say, when you stand before him, he cannot change. He's unchanging. And if you are not right with him, you cannot live with him. And so today we're going to close in prayer, and then I think they'll play a song. We'll probably just close. I'm sorry again about the time. But if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you more than a prayer. You know, yeah, we can pray. We can pray right now. Dear, you know, you accept Jesus in your heart, but I want you to come talk to me. And you sit down and we'll go over the scriptures. I want you to really understand what we're talking about. This is your eternity that you're playing with, all right? Amen. So let's go ahead and close. Joshua, come up here, read this, and we'll be done. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Stand right here.
Now unto him, Jude 24:25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and ever. Amen.
Unto him who is able to keep us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, John.